Afternoon by turning in our Bibles to Job 39. Job 39. While you're turning there, just want to relate to you that when I was a child living in Omaha, Nebraska, I used to like to watch Roy Rogers on TV. I don't know how many of you used to watch Roy Rogers, but I did, and I dreamed one day of having a horse like Trigger. A horse that was smart, beautiful, and my dream started coming true when I was 9 years old. We moved to a farm near Monroe, Nebraska. How many know where Monroe is? Oh, Dave does. Yeah, well, yeah. You do know where Monroe is. Town of 260. And so we moved to this town, to this farm near Monroe, and from then on, we had horses. And I grew up from age 9 up riding horses, and I had all kinds of experiences. I was one of the lightest. Mike was actually lighter than I at the time, but he wasn't as old as I. And so my brothers who bought horses would have me break them. So they'd put me on the horse. I have had so many experiences. I have ridden horses under trees, getting knocked off through trees. I had a horse called Thunder, or Delmer and Terry did, that would literally go up to a tree and start climbing it. I've been thrown from horses. I've had all kinds of experiences. And you know, there's many mentions of horses in the Bible. In fact, here's a passage, and they're generally positive mentions of the Bible. There used to be a guy by the name of Bill Gothard, and he had a book on character sketches. It was a 3-volume set, and it was entitled Institute. It was with the Institute in Basic Life Principles, and he used to take animals and take them as an illustration of what humans should be like as far as their positive characteristics. And here we see some of these characteristics in Job 39. Look at verse 19. Look at how God himself describes horses. Hast thou given the horse strength? So we know that a horse, according to this, is strong. Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? Here we read that the horse is courageous. The glory of his nostrils is terrible. You ever been on a horse in a corral with a horse whose nostrils are flaring and his ears are laid back? That is a sign to run. Okay, so, and that's what we would do. The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear. Here again is his courage, and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. There's speed. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha, ha, and he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. So here you have these positive characteristics of horses. But the Bible also gives a negative characteristic of the horse that we're not to mimic. In fact, the Bible says, be ye not as the horse. Well, I wonder what that would be. Because Trigger was smart, but even Roy Rogers had to do something to that horse Trigger. He had to put a bridle on its head and a bit in his mouth. Why? Why is that? Well, James explains it in 3:3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. The only way to get a horse to do what you want him to do is with a bridle and with a bit. So imagine a horse before the automobile. Imagine you're living in the 1800s. This is what I used to dream of, except not what I'm about to say. And so you had this horse that would understand your every desire, anticipate your every move, And so on Sunday morning, you don't need an alarm. Your horse comes kicking at the door. I was going to say knocking at the door. The horse comes kicking or starts neighing at the door. And you look out, no, sure enough, it's time to get up. It's Sunday morning. And the horse has saddled himself. Didn't put a bridle and bit on because, remember, this is a horse that really understands. And he goes beneath your window, and all you have to do is open your window and step out, get on him, and he takes you right to church. You don't even have to do anything. He just takes you exactly where you need to go. Imagine having a horse like that. We almost have cars like that that have some horsepower in them, but not a real horse. You just mount him, and he takes you to church. I've seen, especially at rodeos, and I've ridden smart horses, but no horse smart enough not to need a bit and a bridle. Now turn to Psalm 32. We find out why you have to give them a bit and a bridle. I mean, James already explained it, that they may obey us, and so that we can turn about their whole body. But in Psalm 32, you learn more about the horse. And this is the negative. This is what we're not supposed to mimic. Psalm 32, 9. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule. Now, what is a mule? It's stubborn. Yes, that's I heard the stubborn. But a mule is a cross between a horse and a donkey. So don't be like the horse, don't be as the mule. What's characteristic of them? Which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. There's all kinds of explanations about that last part that I'm not going to get into. But here's the problem with a horse. Has no understanding. You see, the capability to understand, the capability to discern separates man from brute beast. That's what separates a man from a horse or from a mule. Yet our propensity, even as a human, who should have understanding and should have discernment, is to respond to the Lord just like a horse does to its rider, with no understanding. Sometimes we act like stubborn mules, those which have no understanding. Every human is capable of discerning, and yet many have to be told and told and told again and again what to do. We have to be reminded of things that we know that we should do. We really lack the understanding. And the treasury, in his Treasury of David, the 19th century preacher, Charles Spurgeon, made a very straightforward comment on this verse. And remember, he's using King James lingo here, so don't be offended by how he says this. We should not be treated like mules if there were not so much of the ass about us. Pretty straightforward. Pretty true. If you would quit acting like a mule, people would realize there's not so much of the ass about you. You act like a donkey. You have no understanding. You have no discernment. So Psalm 32:9, where we're looking, is actually an illustration for something that David has already mentioned in verse 8. Here it is. Go back to verse 8. The Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now he says, but don't be like the horse or like the mule that has no understanding. I will instruct thee. I will teach you. I will guide you. And how will he do it? What's the last part of verse 8? With what? Mine eye. Again, let's imagine a horse. That you look at the horse. And I'll do this to you, and I just kind of go like this. Now, there might be a horse somebody could train to actually respond to an eye like that, or the eye that's like, you know. Can you imagine a horse that would respond, I will guide you, I will instruct you with my eye, God says. That's how we get understanding. Psalm 119, 104 says this, through thy precepts I get understanding. Through God's precepts. And I want you to note the three I wills in 32:8. I will instruct thee, there's number one. I will teach thee, there's number two. I will guide thee with mine eye, that's number three. Being guided by God's eye is like a well-disciplined child responding to that certain look of self-disciplined parents, where all it takes is, you know what I'm talking about? That look. I remember my dad's look and my mom's. And well-disciplined children respond to a look. The kind of look when you're in the store and you get the just that look that says, you're going to get it when we get home. And it's just that look. You see, there's a difference between children on a leash and children whose parents can control them with a simple look. What's true of immature children is also true of immature Christians. They have to have a bit and a bridle imposed upon them. They have to be on a leash. The mature believer is so sensitive to God's guidance that a mere look is all that's needed. The bridle and the bit is not necessary because he is not as the horse, he is not as the mule. He is not a puppet on the end of a string. And that's sometimes what we desire. Lord, just guide all the circumstances so that I do exactly what you want me to do. In other words, Lord, put me on a string. But we're not a puppet on the end of a string. We don't walk down a path saying, God, don't let me do something stupid. At least we shouldn't do that. Because he's already told you, you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I know where to go on the path because God has already told me it requires understanding on my part, not a bit and a bridle. A look should be enough. Let me close with what Peter experienced with a look from Jesus. Jesus had told him, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, I won't. No, I won't. No, you'll deny me three times. And the cock will crow when you do it. And it was on that day, that night, when he denied his Lord three times, that the Bible says that Jesus turned, this is what Luke records, and simply looked at him. And Peter wept bitterly and walked away. I often wonder what that look was like. That look where Jesus looked at him, you denied me. I told you you would. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know what I think that Peter, from that point on, or at least by the time you get to the book of Acts, was a man who responded to the moving and the wooing of the Holy Spirit. So that when he came to the point where he was put in prison and he was supposed to be executed the next day, he had the attitude, so be it, Lord, if this is what you want. And that's why he could sleep that night. Be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. So we as children of God, do you need a bit and a bridle? Father, may we respond to your eye when you say that we should respond to your eye as you will